Well, every year it's good to have this time in Toronto. At least once a year, right? Oh, it's not on, right?
It's
already on. Okay, thank you. Amen. Well, it's a good thing there's not so much snow this year. Well, in this conference, we want to share together the fellowship on the first epistle of John. I think it's very important, actually. A lot of people are very familiar with the Gospel of John. I think it's a very popular gospel, the Gospel of John. And many believers, Christians, they all love this gospel, especially John 3:16. Everybody knows this gospel. But not too many believers, not too many Christians. I'd like to read the Epistle of John. Why? Now tell me why. Why? Give me a good reason. Timo, what do you think? You don't know. Oh, that's not good. Why? Because in the first epistle of John, John exposes many of us believers today, because we all say we have eternal life, right? The Gospel of John said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but you will have eternal life. So a lot of people say, well, I believe. Well, praise the Lord, because I believe. Of course, I have eternal life, right? Stephen, don't you believe? Yes, don't you believe John 3:16? Of course you do. So do you have eternal life? Yeah. Every Christian will tell you, of course I have eternal life. I believe in the Lord Jesus. But in the Epistle of John, it's not talking about just believing and receiving eternal life. It's the evidence of eternal life. You have to show me, John will come to you. You said you have eternal life. How do you know? And how do I know that you have eternal life? Peter. Ah, we got two Peter here. Okay. Which Peter should I ask? So somebody told me I have eternal life. Everybody says they have eternal life. There are so many Christians today. Are you saved? We like to ask, right? You will say, yes, yes, I'm saved. So have you received eternal life? Are you born again? Of course I'm born again. How and why? Well, because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this eternal life is not invisible. It's not something that is intangible. It is something very practical. And so you need to have proof and evidence. You have to have evidence. If you don't have evidence, you just said, I'm saved, I have eternal life, but nobody can see it. And in your daily living, people cannot tell between you and a believer and an unbeliever. So they would say, well, what's the difference? So the Epistle of John is not only an epistle telling you how to receive eternal life, it is an epistle to test you to see if you really have eternal life or not. And you all know that John, the apostle, was very old. He was the last of the 12. The Lord has kept the apostle John to the very end. So all the apostles, they had passed away at the end of the century, the first century. And only John was still alive. Around the age of 90, 91, he was an old brother. old physically, but he was not old spiritually. So here, during his time, everything has been degrading. A lot of things have crept in. Strange doctrines and teachings, the world had crept in. A lot of pagan practices, politics, so many different things have penetrated the church. And so if you read Revelations chapter 2 and 3, the churches have really fallen. 教会当初堕落了。Fallen. A lot of darkness have crept in. And so you remember what Paul said? All the churches in Asia Minor have left me. And there have been so much problems and even fightings and different doctrines and teachings and interpretation and false brethren, false prophets. The enemy is working hard to destroy the church. He cannot take away your salvation, but he can prevent this life from really growing. And to prevent us Christians from being built up together. So during the time of John, at the end of the first century, there's already so many problems, so many problems. If you read chapter 2, verse 18, for example, children, John said, children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, there's an Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist, Satan, the serpent, the devil, using so many people in the flesh to go against Christ, to fight against Christ. So don't think that the enemy of Christ is going to just let you go peacefully and build up the church peacefully. Don't be so naive. No, don't be so naive. So children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have arisen. From this we know that this is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they all are not of us. So you see, already during the time of the Apostle John, there was already so much trouble. A lot of people, although they were saved, they said, yeah, we believe we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but really, to go on in the way of life, it is not everybody's business. In other words, Paul says, faith is not everyone's business. Not all have the faith. So, there's a lot of problem. That's why John, the Lord kept John for the very end to bring the saints, the believers, back to the beginning, because we have been distracted. And today, 2,000 years later, look at today's situation. How many groups are there? How many divisions? So many. So many groups, so many directions, so many different kinds of work. So at the end, if I ask you, which one is right? Peter, how do you know? You know, this time I was at the airport before my nephew, Abraham, picked me up. I was talking to a young man. Actually, he started the conversation with me because he saw a white-haired man and waiting to be picked up. He thought, well, maybe my ride didn't come. So he offered me his phone. Would you like to call your ride? Oh, I said, this is a nice young man who has offered me his phone to make a phone call. I said, no, thank you. I know that my nephew is going to be late. And we began to talk. And I said, well, I came here for a conference. My sister lived here, and I'm a Christian. Oh, me too, he said. He was so excited. He said, me too. He was from Shandong. Shandong. Oh, I said, oh, you're a Christian. Yeah, but I'm not baptized yet. So I said, oh, really? I said, then we must have been in the same plane from Vancouver. Yeah, that's right. So I asked him, well, as a Christian, how long were you in Vancouver? Oh, about a year with maybe three of his brothers and sisters. To make the long story short, I asked him, where do you go meet? Well, I went to a church, he said. I said, what kind? Where? He said, to an English church, big English church. Then we began to talk. Well, I said, you know, there are so many groups today. Yeah, he said. And I said, this is not according to the Bible. He said, that's right. I also felt the same. But tell me, which is the right group to go? That was a very good question. I was waiting for that question to come. Which is the right church to go? I told him, I cannot tell you. I said, even if I tell you, how do you know I'm telling you the truth? Right? I told him, how would you know that I'm telling you the right thing? So what should I do? He said. I said, what you should do is, number one, read the Bible yourself. Because if you don't read the Bible, how would you know if the pastor is telling you the right thing or not? I said, so, since you said you're a Christian, then the first thing that a believer, a true believer of the Lord should do is to read the Bible. So if you don't read the Bible, you will never know if somebody's telling you the right thing or not. So please, I said, if you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. No. I'll go get one. So, praise the Lord. Check the first point. Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Then I said, it's not enough just to read the Word of God. I said, being a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, His life enters into you. So now the Lord is dwelling in you. You have His life in you. So in order to cultivate that life, you have to have fellowship with the Lord all the time. You need to learn how to pray. Every day, all the time, talk to Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Fellowship with Him. God is a living God. And as such a living God, He talks. Right? I've never heard an idol talking. All of a sudden, the idol began to speak. And Buddha doesn't talk. Right? A statue cannot talk. Have you ever heard a statue talking? I'll be running away if I see a statue talking to me. I'll be running away. Wouldn't you? Yeah, you think, there's a spook and spook, a ghost. All right. But our God is the living God. That's why it says, in the beginning was the Word. Word. Because God is living. So if God is living, He must be a speaking God. So I said, talk to Him. And the more you fellowship with Him, I said, the more the Lord will manifest Himself to you. So you have the Bible in front of you, you have the life within you, and these two will always correspond to each other. he was so humble. Okay, okay. But, yeah. But where do you go in Vancouver? I'd like to know where you meet. Your brother, you said you have a brother in Vancouver. Where is he? I said, okay, I'll give you the address. I didn't tell him, but he asked me. How about that? So you should really realize many times if you just show the people, turn them to the Lord, you open up their heart, they will ask you where to go to meet. And I didn't tell him, oh, you should go, please go, come and go. No, I don't need to do that. Let the living God lead them to the living place. This is the right way to do it. Because our God is living. Now, John is bringing us back to the very beginning, and in the beginning, what was there? God himself, the Word of God. The enemy always tried to add many, many things so that at the end you're distracted, you're led astray, you just lost sight of the living God, and you'll be interested in so many different things, and you lose sight of the living God. And that is why at the very end, the Lord kept John for this important word to bring us back to the beginning, to the living God. So during those days, there were already so many antichrists. Today, yes, of course. So we'll talk about that later. We come back to what was from the beginning concerning the word of life. The word of life. To know the Lord Jesus is not to know him in an outward way. I'm glad they didn't have photography in those days. Today, you quickly get up your phone, click, and you will tell people, this is Jesus. You know, you look around everywhere, you have photos or paintings of Jesus. It's terrible. That's not Jesus. I'm glad the Lord didn't come in our age with digital age. So many photos of the Lord, you can't find any photos of him because God is life. Doesn't matter what he looks like. That's not a point. The point is not to know Jesus in an outward way. You hang a picture there and a cross. And to know Jesus in an outward way is not really the way he wants us to know. Because even before he became flesh, he was already existing. And all things were created by him, John said. Without him was not anything made that has been made. But what is important is life. In him was life. God is a God of life. What the Lord wants to give us is life. Let us read John. Let us go back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The Lord said here, the thief, the first thief was the serpent. And this thief here refers also to the religious thief, because the sheep, God's people, belong to God. But the Pharisees and scribes and chief priests and elders, they try to steal the sheep for themselves. So the Lord said here, the thief came or comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they might have a photo of myself. Is that what he says? I came that they may know me and see me. Is that what he says there? I came that they might have what? Life. They might have life. What kind of life? If I were there at a time when Jesus was saying this, I would ask him, what do you mean if you come that I might have life? I have a human life. I'm not dead. Wouldn't you ask that? Nele, wouldn't you ask the Lord? What kind of life are you going to give me? A rich life? You want to give me what? What kind of life? A better life? What life? The eternal life. God's life. You all need to see this. God's purpose is to give us his life and to make you a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God, children of God. Man's destiny is to become children of God. So it's not good for you just to be a son of man. In your first birth, it's a good thing you were born a human being, right? But that's only the first birth. It's not good enough. To have human life is good, but it's not good enough, because God's intention with us is to have many sons, many children. You have to become a son of God. This is your destiny. We need to see this. Later on, we'll see some more. To be children of God. Even John chapter 1 already said this. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 9. Beginning in verse 9. Let me just read it to you all, okay? Beginning in verse 9. Maybe you can read it to me. John, can you read it with New King James? Yeah, please.
Verse 9?
Yes, beginning in verse 9 to 13. Yeah.
That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
That's the Lord Jesus, yes.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him.
That means the world is really in darkness. They didn't know him.
He came to his own.
The Jews, his own.
And his own did not receive him.
Neither did the Jews receive him. So sad. Because they didn't know him. But
as many as received him,
to them he gives a photo of himself. No? What?
He gave the right to become children of God.
The right to become children of God.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. Yeah. Now, how do you become a child of God? By receiving his life. Yeah. Receiving him to receive his life. Yes, amen. Go ahead.
To those who believe in his name.
Amen.
Who were born not of blood.
Not of the blood. Amen.
Nor of the will of man,
but of God. Born of God. How wonderful. How wonderful. That is why the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. 要重生, 第二次的生, In your first birth, you got your human life from your parents. But that's not good enough. That makes you a man. It's better than a dog, definitely. I'm very glad I was not born a cat. Or a little wonderful parrot. Born of man. This is wonderful. But it's not good enough. Definitely not good enough. And even worse after man became fallen. That's worse. But God's intention is to make us his children. So when the Lord came, he came not just to save you, but give you his life, his very life, to give you the second birth, the birth from above, to give you his eternal life. And this life is very important. So right in the first gospel of John, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be born again, in the second birth, you will be born of God. That means you will receive God's eternal life into you. This is wonderful. Don't underestimate this matter. And so to receive eternal life is very important. So when you go to John chapter 3, he talks about that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Remember, the Lord told Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Well, I'll tell Nicodemus, even if you are not old, you still cannot enter into your mother's womb. Can you? Your father cannot, definitely. Not because he's old. You're much younger than your father. You still cannot enter into your mother's womb, right? So what kind of a question is, how can man be born when he is old? Can he be born again? I will tell Nicodemus, even if you're just a baby, you cannot be born again. You cannot enter into your mother's womb the second time. Once you're out, that's it, you're born. You cannot enter into your mother's womb the second time, even if you're young. But the Lord is not talking about that. The Lord said, No, I'm not talking about that. Truly, truly, I say to you, in verse 5, unless one is born of water. Water. That's the water of baptism and the Spirit. The Spirit. To be baptized, receiving the Spirit, and be baptized into Christ. To be one with Christ, to receive this eternal life. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh or born of man is flesh. You're just a man. But that which is born of the Spirit of God is the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So you have a spirit within you that's dead because of sin. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you are baptized into him, the Holy Spirit of God will enter into your spirit. And your spirit will be made alive. You are born again, becoming a child of God. This is wonderful. Maybe this weekend, together we will see how wonderful it is to be a child of God. Suppose you have a choice, whether to be a dog or to be a man. What choice would you have? Of course, a man. Of course, a man. Now, suppose you have a choice to be a son of man or a son of God. Which choice will you make? Of course, you should also say, of course, the Son of God. No question. No question, right? Don't you agree, Heidi? Yes, amen. Everybody will agree. If you give me a choice to be a son of man or to become a son of God, I will tell you no question, of course. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to tell you, Timo, give me a week to think about it. Immediately, I will tell you, of course, I want to be a son of God. Because being a son of God, you will become an heir of God. That's what the Bible says. You read it, read it. If you don't read it, you don't know what you're missing. So to receive eternal life is wonderful. You ask Victoria. Victoria will testify to you. It's really wonderful. It's really wonderful. Do you want to be a Greek or do you want to be a son of God? Son of God, of course. This is really wonderful. So after receiving this wonderful life, we need to live by this life. Unfortunately, for many Christians, it's just by faith, it's a doctrine. And after being born again, they think, that's it, that's it. And continue to live in the flesh, and this is definitely not good. Definitely not good. That's why we come back to 1 John. This life is manifested. This life is very practical. Not only you can hear it, you can see it, you can examine it, you can even handle it. Life must be manifested. Life must be manifested. If it's not manifested, it's useless. So here in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. It's a glorious life. So when life was manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means God was manifested. Because John chapter 1 verse 18 said, no man has seen God at any time. And the only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father, He became flesh. And He declared this life. And John said, we saw His glory. Now, this life today is in you and in me. My question is this, is it manifested or is it hidden, locked up in your inner vault? You know what a vault is? A trezor. Locked up with secret numbers. Nobody can open it. So when the Christian and people see you, they don't see anything because that life is locked up. No manifestation of this life. No one can see the glory. So what they see was just you. Suppose when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and all that the people saw is just a man living in the flesh. No glory, no manifestation. Not full of grace, full of truth. Of course, you need eyes to see, right? If you don't have eyes to see, you won't see anything. You need eyes to see, of course. The Jews didn't see anything because they were blind. But if a person is not blind and look at you and see no glory, it's not good. It's definitely not good. This life is manifested. In fact, that's the very reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came, He came to manifest this life, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God. Now, are you not begotten of God? Yes, of course. Not just because John 1 verse 13 said so. Christian like to say, because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. Of course it's good the Bible tells you so, but if it's not visible, not manifested, it's not good. It's not good. We the believers should manifest this eternal life that we have received everywhere we go, wherever you go. People must see the glory of this life. Your colleagues at work will say, this Mu Chang, what kind of a man is he? He's so special, different from all the other people. Amen. They will say, we beheld his glory. The glory as of someone begotten of God. Isn't it wonderful? But if nobody sees anything, you're even ashamed to tell people you're a Christian. That's not very good. Praise the Lord. Everywhere the Lord Jesus went, he manifested his life. In fact, that's the reason why he came, right? He came to give life and to manifest this life. So, at that time of John the Apostle, at the end of the first century, nobody, or very few people, was just manifesting this life. Just living in the flesh, doing their own thing, distracted. This life was fully locked up. No manifestation of this life. There's so many religious activities, but no manifestation of this life. So John brought us back to the beginning. Since you have this life, let me tell you, John said, what this life is. He said, we have not only heard, we have seen with our eyes. Of course, he was talking about the Lord Jesus. But he was not describing how he looked. He's a very handsome young man. Tall, dark, handsome. We have seen his face. You got a beard, a long beard. Isn't that strange if John would describe Jesus as such? That would be very strange. So what? He was talking about the word of life, the very expression of this life. He's not talking about the outward appearance. We all like to talk about the outward appearance because we are very outward people. Man only sees the outward. But John was not talking about the outward appearance of the Lord Jesus. He was talking about the word of life, what the Lord Jesus said, what he has spoken. And when he spoke, life comes out. He's not giving doctrines like the scribes and Pharisees, like those religious people, just giving people the law, do this, do that, don't do this, this is good, that is bad, do what I say. And no. The word of life, it gives life to people. In fact, he himself was the living word, the embodiment of the living word, who is God himself. I want to impress with you, just like John, what he said here. This life is tangible. And it can be examined, not only seen with our eyes, but what we beheld. The word beheld, some translation says, we examined him closely. They were with Jesus day by day. You know, if I don't live with you, I don't know how you live. So you may look very nice looking at me. You smile. Very, oh, nice young man. Because I don't know you. But let me live with you for 1 year, day in and day out, and I'll see if you're still smiling all the time. These apostles, disciples of the Lord, they were with the Lord Jesus day in, day out for 3.5 years. Amen. They could testify, this is the eternal life. They're not talking about doctrine. No. They saw the way he acted. They saw his humanity. They saw how perfect this person is. They saw the expression of God. Very different from them. So John said, we beheld him. We examined this person. We knew him inside out. And we have handled. We knew this person through and through concerning the word of life. You remember John chapter 6. Peter told the Lord, when the Lord asked him, well, everybody left me. Are you going to leave me too? What did the Lord say? And what did Peter say? Lord, where can we go? You're such a handsome man. You're such a great person. Oh, you did so many miracles. Lord, where can we go? You're so nice. Where can we go, Lord? We can't find anybody more capable than you. What did he say? You have words of eternal life. They touched the real thing. Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Everybody else wants outward things. Wow, what a wonderful speaker. Or, wow, look at his miracles. Or, wow, look at this man. He can do this and that and that. Wow. A lot of people just saw outward things. Wow, this man can feed us with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he can feed how many thousand? 5,000. How about that? Who can do that? So let's follow Jesus so that we can eat every day without money. How about that? Is going to feed us. Ah, praise the Lord, I don't have to work anymore. That's what people like, right? But the Lord told them, I am the real food. Eat me. Here, eat me. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. Eat me. When they all heard that, they all ran away. They'll run away. How can this man give his flesh for us to eat? But they didn't realize. They did not even give the Lord a chance to explain. At least you should have given this man a chance to explain. What do you mean, eat your flesh? Okay, give me a bite. Come on, let me bite you. At least give him a chance to explain. These people didn't even give a chance for the Lord to explain. And when the Lord wanted to explain, they all ran away. They left him. They were all offended. But those who have touched life, they remained with the Lord Jesus. But not too many. only 12 remained out of thousands who were flocking him at that time. Only 12. So John here is talking about life. And he truly was very qualified to talk about it. In verse 2, he said, "And the life was manifested." Again and again he said, "And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you the eternal life which was with the Father." Now he's telling us God wants to be our Father. Remember, life and the Father is related, because the Father gives life. Where did you get your life? Of course, your human life, you got it from your Father and Mother, of course. But it was the Father that gives you life, right? Where did you get your life? From your dad and mom. So you have to realize this wonderful God wants to be our Father, the real Father. So this life was with the Father and was manifested to us. How? Through the Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, again he stressed and emphasized the fact what we have seen and heard. Three times he kept on pounding it. We're not just talking about doctrines, teachings. We're not just telling you about some myth that we heard from somebody. No, we have seen with our own eyes. We declare to you also that you may be co-sharers with us. Fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us, means you can be a co-sharer with us together. Because we are enjoying this life, and we want you to also enjoy this life. We want to bring you into this enjoyment. Because the word fellowship, the first meaning of the word fellowship is to share, to partake. Every time I come to my sister's place, she always asks me, "Eat. Eat and prepare so many things. Eat. Eat." Because she wants me to take in these riches. Of course, out of love. She didn't just teach me about eggs and cinnamon rolls and chicken. And, "Come, sit down. Let me talk to you about chicken. Sit down, let me tell you about this and that." And not a teaching, no. You know, for us many times, fellowship, "Oh, let's have some fellowship." So what do? Sit down and discuss and talk. "Let's have some fellowship." So for us, fellowship is just talk. Suppose, Nina, you invited us for lunch for today, and we just talk about chicken, talk about beef, talk about salmon, talk about rice, talk about veggies, and after 1 hour of talk, we all go home. Do you think we'll be full? No, we didn't talk. We ate. We fellowship with the chicken. We had fellowship with, wow, what a wonderful meal. So after eating all those things, filled all of us. We were all so satisfied. John said, "These things we declare to you as reality. We want to bring you into the enjoyment of this wonderful life, eternal life." And what we are sharing is the Father himself. Because our participation, our sharing, what we are enjoying and experiencing, examining, experiencing day by day is this living Father. And his Son, Jesus Christ, and it is by the Spirit. This is what we're doing today. And this is what John wants to bring us back into this wonderful fellowship. Wonderful participation, sharing, experiencing of this wonderful God who is our Father, manifested in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is very real. Should be our experience. And this is what was in the beginning. In the church life, we don't care about anything else. We want this fellowship. Because nothing else will work. Everything in the church life must come out of this fellowship. And this fellowship is the eternal life. And if you are in that fellowship, enjoying this eternal life, John said, you'll be a happy man. Your joy will be made full. Right? Look at Nina. She's happy. Wonderful. A Christian should be the happiest people in the whole world. Why? Because we are in the enjoyment of this wonderful eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. And these things we write so that your joy may be made complete, may be made full. You can always tell if somebody is in the fellowship or not. If you have long faces, you're always not very happy or dissatisfied. Not happy with this, not happy with that. You're always complaining, this and that. You're like that, you're not in the fellowship. You're out of the fellowship. But if you're enjoying this wonderful life, John said, your joy will be made complete. This is really wonderful. Praise the Lord. This is the introduction to our conference. Amen.